KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, we have a clear to partly cloudy sky, and it's currently 34 degrees. We look for it to be partly cloudy today with a high of 58. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by Jeff Moranz of Stifel Investments. Iowa's coronavirus dashboard today, updated as of just before 7 a.m., shows 25 additional deaths have been attributed to COVID-19 since Thursday's 10 a.m. report, for a total of 2,127. There have been 4,349 new confirmed positive cases of the virus reported since yesterday. Cass County now has 27 new positive cases of COVID for a total of 707. Double-digit positive case increases were reported in Harrison, Mills, Montgomery, Shelby, and Union counties. And there were 162 more positive cases of COVID in Pottawatomie County. Cass County's three LTC or long-term care facilities have a total of 192 confirmed positive cases, which is 45 more than yesterday, and 104 recovered. Harrison County has two LTC facilities for a total of 213 confirmed positive cases. In Pottawatomie County, there are 159 outbreaks among three of those long-term care facilities, and in Shelby County, 116 outbreaks among two facilities. The Iowa Health Department reports another drop in virus hospitalizations. There are currently 1,447 Iowans hospitalized with COVID-19 compared to 1,516 the previous day. 275 of those patients are in an ICU compared to 286 on Thursday. 207 were admitted over the last 24 hours, and that's down from 223 the previous day. Also, there are 144 Iowans on a ventilator. That is up from 135 on Thursday. In western and southwest Iowa, there are 74 COVID patients in the hospital compared to 66 yesterday. 24 are in an ICU. That's two more than Thursday. 11 were admitted to a hospital, up from five on Thursday, and eight people are on a ventilator. You can take a look at that information and much more in this same story on our news page at KJAN.com. Cass County Public Health say they have a limited supply of influenza vaccine as part of an initiative to immunize adults with no insurance who are underinsured or who have limited access to influenza vaccine. Appointments aren't required and can be made by calling Cass County Public Health at 712-250-8008. The vaccine will be administered in their office at 1408 East 10th Street here in Atlantic. Weekend appointments may also be available if needed. Just ask when you call to schedule. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC, provided adult influenza vaccines to those states to increase influenza vaccine coverage as part of the critical part of the COVID-19 response work. Increasing adult influenza coverage will result in a decreased strain on the nation's healthcare system, according to officials. This one-time initiative for the 2020-21 campaign influenza season will allow states to order influenza vaccine and provide it to those who are uninsured or underinsured or live in areas where they may have, again, limited access to receive the vaccine. As part of the National Rural Health Day on Thursday, Cass County Health System announced that it had been recognized by the Charter Center of Rural Health and the National Organization of State Offices of Rural Health for overall excellence in quality and outcomes. The Performance Leadership Award Program utilizes the results of the Hospital Strength Index to recognize top quartile performance among critical access hospitals and rural and community hospitals. Cass County Health System CEO Brett Altman said, "We're very pleased to receive this recognition of being in the top 25% for both quality and outcomes of more than 2,200 rural hospitals in the country. And this is a direct result," he said, "of the outstanding team we have, who strive to make these quality and outcome measures a top priority with every patient, every time." Cass County Wellness Coordinator Brigham Hoig reports that on Wednesday, December 2nd, the Cass County Local Food Policy Council is hosting a mobile food pantry through the Food Bank for the Heartland at the Cass County Community Center in Atlantic from 4 until 6 p.m., or until supplies last. Hoig says they've ordered double the amount of food to be handed out at the mobile pantries in the past, given the increased food needs related to COVID-19. Anyone in need is welcome to visit the mobile pantry, and no documentation is needed. People from surrounding towns and communities are welcome. Traffic will be directed by volunteers. Visitors are asked to stay in their vehicles with the trunk open so they can load your supplies into the trunk. The mobile pantry is available free of charge. If you'd like more information on local food, farmers markets, and food access, you can simply follow Cass County Local Food Policy Council on their Facebook page at Cass County Local Food. Atlantic Community School District Food Service Director Natalie Ritter on Wednesday provided the school board with an update on the latest developments in her department from over the past few months, including a change in the free breakfast and lunch program for all students, district students that began back on September the 21st.
The waiver states that the school district can operate under the summer food service program guidelines and regulations until the end of December. This waiver has since changed to include the rest of the school year.
The district's waiver application was approved the first week of this month. Ritter says since they've received approval to serve free breakfast and lunches through the remainder of the current school year, they've seen an increase in the number of those students who participate to around 75 on average. The waiver helps those who struggle to pay their lunch account balances and who are on the brink of receiving reduced lunches.
We are pushing hard to get all the negative accounts up to date during the next few months. We have always been pretty relaxed about these negative accounts, just as long as they are making an effort to get them paid off. I'm willing to do payment plans or help them in any way that I can. We understand that this can be a hardship for some, so we try to make it as painless as possible for everyone involved, and for the most part, people are willing to work with us.
The only thing that's changed, she says, are the free breakfast and lunches, the billing at the end of the month, and the paperwork that kitchen managers must do at the end of the day.
None of the menus have changed or will change because of the waiver. We are still giving the kids what they would get if they had to pay for their meals.
And she says the district's food service department is helping remote learners and quarantine kids by providing grab-and-go meals that can be picked up on Mondays from 3:15 to 3:30 p.m. The packages are enough for 5 days of meals, both breakfast and lunch.
We started our first pickup on September 8th, and at that time there were 10 kids we provided meals for. They can request this option at any time, and they can cancel it at any time. These meals follow the same meal pattern requirements that the kids would get if they were in school.
Some of the meals have to be heated up in a microwave or oven prior to eating. And Natalie says when parents request to be on the grab-and-go list, she sends out a Google Doc form for them to fill out. There are a total of 35 kids utilizing the opportunity, with emails coming in every day, she said, wanting to be added. In the funeral announcements, Linda Hole, stage 78 of Walnut, died Wednesday at Cass County Hospital. A private family graveside service for Linda Holst will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Layton Township Cemetery in Walnut. Paulie Jones Funeral Home of Avoca has arrangements. Stephen Dean, age 71, who's formerly of Griswold, died November 14th in Kansas. A memorial visitation for Stephen Dean will be tomorrow from 1 until 3 at the Recon Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. M. Marie Nelson Myers, age 80, of Trainer and formerly of Audubon, died Monday. Funeral services for Marie Myers will be held on Sunday at 2 o'clock at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. Milo Nielsen, age 99, of Harlan, died Wednesday at Elmcrest Retirement Community. A private family graveside service for Milo Nielsen will be on Monday at 2 o'clock at the Elkhorn Lutheran Cemetery. Paulie Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has arrangements. Jean Iberg, age 93, of Atlantic, died Monday at the Heritage House. Private services for Jean Iberg will be held at the Greenlawn Cemetery in Afton. Hockenberry Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Melvin Anderson, age 79, of Elkhorn, died Wednesday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Private family graveside services for Melvin Anderson will be at the Elkhorn Lutheran Cemetery. Hockenberry Family Care is assisting the family. John Hansen, age 91, of Audubon, died November 5th. A celebration of life for John Hansen will be held at a later date. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Paul Calhoun, age 85, of Anita, died Wednesday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Arrangements for Paul Calhoun are pending at Hockenberry Funeral Home in Anita. Ron Swope, age 77, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Cass County Hospital. Services for Ronald Swope are pending at this time. Reconvene Funeral Home of Oakland is assisting the family. Betty Jean Marsh, age 87, of Stewart, died Tuesday at the Community Care Center. Cremation has taken place and no services are planned for Betty Jean Marsh. Johnson Family Funeral Home of Stewart is assisting the family. The news was brought to you by Jeff Moranz of Stiefel Investments. Give him a call at 712-243-5500. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.